I'm always worried that the song before the lesson is going to be, it won't be very long, kind of get people their hopes up. Luckily it wasn't, so. And I'm not going to mention anything about anybody moving. If you weren't here, that was a bad illustration. Anyway, I'm thankful for the opportunity this afternoon, to speak to you and hopefully something that we could all learn from and take to heart, myself included. And sometimes when you have no idea of what you want to talk about, I kind of do my random reading method, where I just kind of start reading and things randomly, and then I come up with an idea, and one idea leads to another. And so this is part one of a series of two of some lessons I'd like to do. And like I said, I think that we could all learn from it. In the book of Proverbs, we're going to start out with the book of Proverbs, much like our lesson this morning from Psalms 19. Book of Proverbs written by Solomon, one of the wisest people that had ever lived, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 14, and we'll start reading in verse 12. Proverbs 14, starting in verse 12. It says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Even in laughter the heart may be in pain, and the end of joy may be grief. The backslider in heart will have his fill of his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied with his." We have this idea that Solomon is writing about something very interesting. Verse 12, he says, "The way that seems right to a man, but the end of it, the end of that way, is death." This is repeated in chapter 16. Exactly, word for word, in verse 25, he mentions it again. And the way he's talking about here is the way through life, the way that we choose to live our life, the way that we choose to make our choices and our decisions. And God has given us this time here on earth, however many years that we have, however many years that is, that we have to spend our time in doing whatever we do. And then after this life is over, after we spend our time here on earth, then we spend the eternal phase of our life. So it's interesting in this verse that he is saying that the way that we may choose to live our life may seem right, but is not right at all. That we may choose a way of life that looks right, that seems right, and then we don't find out until this life is over, it was wrong. It was completely wrong, and we face the awful consequences of that. It's kind of like asking for directions, and, you know, I don't need directions, and you go a certain way you think is right or looks right, and then you end up in the wrong place, right? So that's what I'd like to talk about tonight, is the way that seems right. And we must all agree that it's way too easy for people to make our own decisions. Or it's way too easy for people to make our own choices of what we like and what we want to do without even considering what God wants us to do, without even considering, well, what does the Lord think I should be doing? And as Christians, that we know that we're not supposed to be in full control of our lives, that God is supposed to be in control of our lives and not us. You know, in our society today, there's a, I don't know if it's a counseling, a rise in counseling or mental health, that people suffer from codependency. And it could be in all different types of things. They're codependent upon you know, this substance or this type of activity, whatever that is. And that's oftentimes seen as a weakness. It's oftentimes seen as a problem. But the truth is that God created all of us to be codependent. We're all codependent upon Him, aren't we? We're all codependent upon each other. And that's the way He had created us. And the danger in this life is when people think outside of God's boundaries, when people think outside of God's counsel, outside of God's word, and without even considering what God wants them to do. And people bring themselves into danger when they think that we can make decisions or they can make decisions without the guidance of God. And that's what we're going to be talking a lot about tonight in several different points. In Proverbs, if you go back a page or two, and that's all throughout the book of Proverbs, but Proverbs 12 and verse 15, on page 910, Randy, we have the same Bible. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." So, as we started out with, there's a way that a man seems right to a man, and then there's God's way. So a person may choose a way of life because they think that's going to bring them happiness. If I chose, all right, I'm going to choose this way of life because I think I'll be happy that way. And, you know, that'll bring me, you know, more money, or I could travel, or I could do this. And I'm thinking about, you know, myself and this life path, career, or this life that I've taken. Others may choose a way of life that, you know, appeals to their character, their nature. You know, I want to career path, or I want a life where I'm the boss, where I'm in charge, where I get to, you know, be in control of everything. Some people might choose that, and however which way they get there is fine with them, because the ends justify the means, right? It doesn't matter how they get there, as long as the end result is, you know, they're rich, or they're happy, or they have, you know, their vacation home or whatever. And another way that might seem right to people is just to follow everybody else, right? That the conduct of the multitude creates a social conscience. It creates a code of morality, and people think, well, if the majority thinks it's right, then it must be okay. And that's kind of like the society that we live in today, where everybody, you know, politicians and people that are in the news, they have to be careful about offending anybody, anything, and about religious comments, about, you know, what God's viewpoints are, because maybe that's not what the majority of the culture of society says is right. So that means that just because the majority says it's right doesn't mean that God says it's right, doesn't think it's right. And people often pick ways, their path that seems right to them, but as we said, the verse says, it ends up in death, that separation from God. And people are choosing their path, or choosing their way of life according to their own desires, to their own likes, their own prejudice, their own selfishness. They're choosing that way. In Matthew chapter 7, Matthew 7, starting at verse 13, here Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." So I'm saying the broad way is the way where the majority is going to go, hey, let's go with the crowd, let's go with what the majority thinks, And that narrow way is, hey, let's go with what God thinks. Let's go with the right way. So the majority is not what makes the right way. And as people, we need to put our faith and our trust and our confidence in God. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. Sometimes that's where we have faith. That's where we have belief. That's where we have confidence and trust in God. Remember the story of Naaman? You know, here's Naaman the leper. You go, oh, what do I need to do to be cleansed? Well, you need to go down to the Jordan and dip 7 times. What? That doesn't make sense to me. Why would somebody do that? So he did it and he ended up being cleansed. But as we'll go on to see, that God's logic or God's answers might be different from what we would think is logical. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, a popular passage we often quote, that says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, but with justice, not with thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. That a man's way is not in himself. So there it says that there's a way to a man that seems right. And here they said that way that seems right, man's way, is not the right way. That man's way leads to destruction. That a man doesn't have the capability of leading himself without God's help, without God's influence, without God's direction, without God's counsel, without God's words. That he didn't create us for that. In Isaiah chapter 55, this has got to be on Dennis's, one of Dennis's favorite verses right here. Starting in verse 6, Isaiah 55, starting in verse 6, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, lest the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So we have to understand, and the world has to understand, that there's man's level of thinking and our ways, and then there's God's ways. And understanding what that difference is and which one that we should follow. You know, if it says that it's not within a man to direct himself, don't you think it should be the goal of everybody to find out, well, what do I do? How do I get directed? You know, if I can't direct myself, then who do I turn to? Amen. Where do I go? Where do I go for directions? Where do I go for help? And there are, you know, many that think that they're looking for the right way, but they will be distracted by error. They'll be distracted by so many other things, by looking in the wrong places, by listening to, you know, the wrong people instead of finding out for themselves. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. The paths that lead to destruction are many. And they're everywhere. We don't have to even look for them. It makes no effort to find the broad way. It makes no effort to find the path that leads to destruction. It's all around us. But to find the path that leads to heaven takes effort. The path that leads the right way, that narrow way, takes an effort. In John chapter 14, in verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So Jesus says here, I am the way. I am the truth, I am the life. The way we get to the way to that we get to heaven, the way that we get to God, the way that we get to righteousness, all has to go through Jesus. All has to go through his sacrifice, through our obedience to him, through us obeying his word. And unfortunately, you know, the world is filled with so many doctrines out there that aren't truthful that people can think, well, I'm on the right path, I'm on the right way, but it's not the right way at all. They could be listening to the wrong people. They're not finding out for themselves. And so they will find out, unfortunately, many times too late. When we think about this original verse, there's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. Some people will question about the justice of God in this verse. So you mean to tell me that life can be so deceptive that a person who thinks and believes that he is living right is in fact living wrongly and will be punished by God for living wrong? Is that possible? Is this man's fault or is this God's fault? Will God hold people guilty because they didn't choose the right way? Will God condemn people because they didn't follow him? They chose the way that seemed right to them? Would God do that? Well, the Bible teaches us in many places, and even in this verse, that it implies that we will be responsible for our own beliefs, that God is going to hold us accountable for how we live our lives. We're going to have to give an account for our lives, right? For our deeds done in the flesh, for everything that we say, all those things. And just because we are sincere, just because we're nice people, kind of like Randy talked about this morning, if those people aren't following the right way, the right path to God, then God will judge them. And some people think, you know, that, God will cut them some slack because they're a really nice guy or a nice person. Well, if we have to follow God's physical laws, the laws of nature, right? If I get on top of the roof of this building and I jump, would the laws of nature would say, well, gravity, when I hit the ground, that would hurt. But God, I'm a sincere person. I'm really nice. So why would you let me get hurt if I jump off the building? Right? Am I trying to, you know, compete or fight against the laws of nature? So God's spiritual laws are the same way. There's laws that are set in motion. And it's sad that many will think they're on the right path, but they'll be on the wrong path. And we need to look for the right path in the right ways, the right areas. So why do people depend so much upon their own decisions and their own choices? Something we've talked about a couple of times. And sometimes I think maybe it just doesn't, you know, the Bible doesn't make sense to them. God's plan doesn't make sense to them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul addresses this to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 18, it says, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become foolish that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasonings of the wise, that they are useless." So the foolishness of God is what is seems foolish to us, but it's the wisdom, you know, the wisdom of God. So man's wisdom and all its greatness and all of our power and intellect is foolishness to God. In chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, he mentions in verse 20, he says, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And going down to verse 26, he says, "For I consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, that there were not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong, and the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, all the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God." They're saying our way of thinking and God's way of thinking are completely different. You know, what we think might be right and a great idea, you know, is completely opposite of what God would have us to do. So sometimes maybe people follow their own way, their own path, because, hey, I don't think God's way doesn't make sense to me. You know, I can't trust God's way because, you know, it's not logical in my thinking. And that's the wrong way of thinking, because we're relying on our own wisdom, right, instead of God's wisdom. Some people might want to follow their own way instead of God's way because that's what they want to do, right? In John chapter 3, John 3, and starting at verse 18, it says, "He who believes in him is not judged, and he who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and the men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." So if you took a survey of the whole world, how come you don't follow God's way? How come you don't follow the Bible? How come you're not a Christian? How come you follow your own way? Well, because I love the darkness more than the light. Because I love my way better than God's way. Because I want to do the things that I want to do. James 4:17, there, the verse says, "For him who knows the right thing to do and does it not is sin." How many people fall into that category? How many people know the right thing to do and don't do it? You think that's okay? The Bible says it's sin. If you know the right thing and you don't do it, then that's sin. You're completely ignoring what God wants you to do. So my next question is, well, is it even possible for people to know the right way that leads to life? Is it possible for people to know that? In John chapter 8, we're going to go a few more pages over. In verse 31, here Jesus says, but many of the multitude believed in him, and they were saying, I think I'm in the wrong chapter. There we go. Sorry about that. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So can anybody say the excuse, well, what is truth? I have no idea. I can't follow the right way because I don't know what truth is. Jesus says, you shall know the truth. So he's saying a couple of things. He's saying that there's truth in religion, that truth can be found in religion. And he also says that you can know it, that you could know the truth. So God has given us the capability of understanding his word. As Randy talked this morning about the law, that law brought us to a knowledge of sin, but God has also given us an intellect to understand right from wrong, to understand the law, to understand what sin is, all those things, so we can understand what the truth is. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, what does it say there that we often use? That God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So God is saying, all right, here's the path that you take yourself that's the wrong way, and I've given you all the information, I've given you everything you need to know for you to be pleasing to me. Everything you need to know to go to heaven. Everything you need to know to be a Christian, to imitate God, to imitate Christ, I've given you that information. What if you said, well, God, I'm not smart enough? Well, what's James chapter 1, verse 5 say? If anyone lacks wisdom, let him pray to God. Shouldn't we pray for wisdom and understanding all the time? I do. And going back to Proverbs, I should have put a bookmark there. There it is. Proverbs chapter 3. Starting in verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. And this is throughout the book of Proverbs. Don't be wise in your own understanding. Don't be wise in your own knowledge. And Hebrews chapter 2, going back and forth, this is an exercise in Old to New Testament. See how fast you can go from spot to spot. Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says, for this reason we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So the idea is, if through God's word, if these people under the Old Testament were punished, and we have all this knowledge, we have this revealed word, how are we going to escape the salvation? What's our excuse going to be? And the idea is that we're not going to escape if we don't do anything about it. And as Christians, we need to be careful. And my lesson was kind of talking about the world in general, but it also applies to Christians also, and that Christians have this struggle we have in dealing with the flesh versus the spirit, that battle, that war that we have. And in Romans 8, it talks about that battle of the flesh and the spirit. Those who are led by the spirit need to walk by the spirit. Those who are in the flesh are walking to the flesh. Galatians 5, they're the fruits of the spirit, right? It says that you are led by the spirit, that you are supposed to follow the spirit. So as Christians, when we make our decision making, when we make our choices in life, we have to think, well, am I thinking fleshly? Am I thinking spiritually? Am I thinking to what I want? Am I thinking to what God wants? And I was thinking about, and Randy had mentioned it this morning, about the story of the rich young ruler. So here's a story about a person that seemed to them that they were doing everything right, that they were doing everything right according to God's law. So he asked Jesus himself, well, what am I still lacking? As the story we read this morning, and he goes, well, sell your possessions and give them to the poor. So he had to make this choice. Well, does that seem right to me? Or, you know, do I follow what God says? So it seemed right to him, well, I'm going to do is keep my money and go away because that seems right to me. That's a choice I'm going to make. Even when Jesus himself told him, it's not like, you know, some guy off the street said, hey, sell everything, give it to the poor. Jesus himself told him to do that. And he goes, well, let me think about it. You know, I want to follow God. I want to do what's right. But that interferes with really what I want to do, with the choices and things that I really like. So we see people that, well, I want to follow God as long as it really doesn't interfere with what I really want to do, what I like to do. And here's a perfect example. Jesus himself told him to do something. He goes, well, no, I'm going to go my way. I think my way is better because I don't believe you. I don't trust you because I think I have confidence in my decision, in my way, how I want to live my life. And there's people that want to, they want to act like God is controlling their life, but they do it in a way where they're really making their own decisions. There's a story of a man that was a large man, and he stopped by the bakery on his way to work each morning. And he would pick up some pastries and donuts for his co-workers and his staff at this company to eat on their coffee breaks, not to mention a little bit for himself. So one day he decided, well, it's time for me to kind of get in shape, maybe lose a couple of pounds. So I'm going to drive to work a different way and avoid the donut shop. That way I'm not really tempted with the donuts and pastries and Danish. So his people at work encouraged him, said, yeah, that's a good idea, and we want you to lose weight and get in shape. So one day he had to run an errand in the same neighborhood that the bakery was in. And he approached the bakery, and he was driving by, and he was thinking to himself, well, maybe God wants me to stop by the bakery, this pastry, and pick up a few things for the people at work, because they really enjoy that. They really like that. And I'll just get something little for myself. So he said, well, maybe God wants me to do that, to stop by the bakery. And I haven't done it for a while, and so the man prayed, and he said, Lord, if you want me to pick up some pastries and donuts for the people I work with and for myself, then show me a sign. Make me a parking spot right in the front of the bakery, and that way I'll know for sure that you want me to go and buy donuts and Danishes for everybody. Give me that sign. That way I'll know for sure this is exactly what you want me to do. And sure enough, as he prayed, a parking spot came open right in the front of the bakery on his eighth trip around the block. So it's an example of we're thinking that we're using God's wisdom. We're thinking that we're letting God make the choices, but we're really making them ourselves and giving God the credit. And when we get to the point in our lives where we rationalize and excuse, we make excuses about our decisions, about our choices. You know, if we really think about the way that seems right versus what God wants us to do, you know, how are we making our decisions? There's people that hardly ever, may hardly ever go to church, and that seems right to them. There's people that might hardly ever be committed to being involved with the work of the church. People that hardly will get involved with, whatever the congregation has going on. But how many people expect to go to heaven? Everybody, all right? Does everybody expect to go to heaven? But people rationalize their decisions. They rationalize their choices. And like the Bible says, there's people that compare themselves to others. And you'll always find somebody as bad off as you are, or somebody that you could always compare yourself to. People can always do that to try to rationalize their decisions. But God tells us that we're going to have to give an account, that there will be a day of reckoning. I think some people think, well, I think I'm okay because, you know, God hasn't sent down a lightning bolt to kill me today. And God doesn't do that because there's going to be a judgment day. There's going to be a time where all of us will be judged. So there's people in this world that think, hey, I'm doing okay, I'm living my life, and I'm doing what I want to do. And they might not have any idea if God is happy with their life or what they're doing or not. So we need to think about how we make our decisions, how we make our excuses, how we rationalize things, and think about, well, am I choosing God's way or am I choosing my way? Am I choosing God's will or am I choosing my will? And that's, you know, the lesson for me, and that's a lesson for the world, that, you know, the way that I choose leads to death. The way that man chooses leads to death. The only way that we can be saved, the only way that we can make it to heaven is the narrow way, the way that leads to heaven. And the way that leads to heaven is to follow God, to follow His word, to become a Christian, to be obedient, and to let Him to take control over lives. Let Him take over our choices. Let Him take over what, you know, what we want to do, what our purpose here is for. Ephesians 2, verse 10, right? Where does it say? We are created in Christ Jesus for a good work. We were created for a purpose, not to do our whole life with what everything that we want to do, but we're created to do what God put us here for. But God put us here for a plan to do good works to bring glory to His name. If there's anyone here that's not a Christian, you need to look at your life and say, well, how am I living my life? Am I living it according to God's will or my own will? Am I doing the right, doing what the way that seems right to me or the way that seems right to God? If there's anyone here that is subject to the invitation that we can help you in any way, would you please come forward while we stand and sing?